Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Adams Road, for that musical introduction, and we're glad that you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our study of The Miracle of Forgiveness, a book that was written by 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. And we are in Chapter 16, a chapter titled Avoiding Pitfalls. Now, I have to admit, Eric, in reading this chapter, there's probably more that I probably agree with than I disagree with. And as we've mentioned in past broadcasts, there are going to be some areas where Kimball is going to say things that certainly are not totally inaccurate. And we should expect that.
Well, I think we should say when we agree with, when we're doing a book review, I think we need to say that to be honest. And we're not trying to just nitpick or show how everything is wrong. And so I think we need to acknowledge the parts that he does get right.
Now, because Kimball places a very strong emphasis on the fact that Mormons are supposed to be keeping all of the commandments and are supposed to repent of all their sins, it makes sense that he would have a chapter that would hopefully instruct his people how to avoid falling into what he calls the pitfalls of sin that would tend to, in Mormon thought, undo everything that they have accomplished. So he goes through this chapter and he starts listing some of the areas that Latter-day Saints should avoid in order not to succumb to the temptations of this world. Now, as Christians, we also take temptation very seriously. You know, we sometimes joke about things like that, like I can withstand everything but temptation. But really, it's no laughing matter. It's not a joke. We should be able to overcome these things, and sometimes we don't. Unfortunately for the Latter-day Saint, if they don't overcome these things, certainly if they die in a state of sin or as an enemy to God, as Spencer Kimball has said previously, all hope of eternal exaltation is naturally gone. But in this chapter, he goes through, as I've said, many areas that Mormons should avoid. And I would dare say, certainly professing Christians should probably avoid as well. But on page 216, he has the subheading, The Savior's Example. Why don't you take off from there, Eric?
Well, he says the importance of not accommodating a temptation in the least degree is underlined by the Savior's example. Did not he recognize the danger when he was on the mountain with his fallen brother Lucifer being sorely tempted by that master tempter?
That's an interesting statement because remember in the 2008 presidential election, it was Governor Mike Huckabee, a professing evangelical Christian, who made the statement about, well, he asked a rhetorical question, I think it was, is don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers? And of course, Latter-day Saints just went bonkers over that. They just went nuts. Like, you know, what a terrible thing for him to say, even though what he said was totally accurate. And here's one example where Kimball himself makes that connection when he said, did not he recognize the danger when he was on the mountain with his fallen brother, Lucifer?
Yeah, it's not the only time he said that. He said that in Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, pages 32 and 33. And he talked about the principal personalities in this great drama were a father Elohim, perfect in wisdom, judgment in person, and two sons, Lucifer and Jehovah. And then Milton R. Hunter in Gospel Through the Ages, page 15, said the appointment of Jesus to be the Savior of the world was contested by one of the other sons of God. He was called Lucifer, son of the morning, haughty, ambitious, and covetous of power and glory. The spirit brother of Jesus desperately tried to become the Savior of mankind.
So there's no doubt that this is a teaching in Mormonism. That's why when the Mormons got all upset about that, I thought, how disingenuous. I mean, how disingenuous. And even the accusation that Huckabee might have been a bigot for even saying that, that just that kind of talk just bothers me.
Well, and I think it was costly to him. He ended up later apologizing for
something. I wouldn't have. I said, wait a minute. You ought to apologize for getting upset at me. I mean, I wouldn't have backed off on that.
I ran into Mike Huckabee at a speaking engagement he had a few years later, and I ended up giving him a copy of Mormonism 101, and he looked at it, and he looked up at me, and I said, well, maybe for your next campaign. And he thanked me graciously.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, that kind of gets a little bit off the subject at hand. He does talk about, again, as I mentioned, ways that Latter-day Saints can avoid falling into various temptations. And on page 217, the page after the quote about Lucifer being Jesus' brother, he talks about flirting with temptation. Don't flirt with temptation. I don't think many Christians would argue with that. I mean, certainly you don't want to place yourself into in a situation where you might succumb to any type of weakness that you might have. Now, remember, we all have our different weaknesses. Some things that might bother one person certainly won't bother another. There are some things that just don't bug me at all. There's other things that do bother me, you know, and I think we need to be cognizant of that. So when he talks about, for instance, he talks about a boy who dates a girl of questionable morals, even just for once, is taking chances. He is dealing with a powerful temptation. I would tend to agree with that. That isn't a good situation for a young person to be brought into.
You know, temptation is good enough to find us. We don't need to go find it. The Bible says in James 1:13 that God does not tempt us, but that we are tempted when we have our own evil desires. The NIV puts it, dragged away and enticed. Then that gives birth to desire, and then desire gives birth to sin, and sin gives birth to death. And, you know, this is something that Paul says, we're going to struggle with sin. There's no doubt about it. But to go out of our way and put ourselves into situations that would cause us undue temptation, the Lord said in his prayer in Luke chapter 10 that we were to pray that he would not lead us into temptation. But you know what? God won't tempt us, but we certainly can tempt ourselves.
Yeah, he brings up things like, well, things that would probably be noticeable, especially in the warmer months. He talks about immodesty, for instance, mm-hmm. primarily among women. And, you know, that is not only a problem, I'm sure, in the LDS church, because he does give examples of that. But within the Christian community, immodesty, dress wear that I think is, you know, he just kind of shake your head and go, is that really the way it should be?
You have to ask yourself, why am I wearing this? And, you know, especially with us guys, we're so attracted by the eyes. And I think a lot of girls know, you know, they take some things off the top and wear the spaghetti straps or whatever, even to church. I mean, I want to worship God there. I don't want to be sitting behind you and having my mind wander, which it very easily can do. So I would say, especially for the young ladies out there, help the guys in your congregation not to stumble in that kind of a way, because it is such a detriment to being able to have a relationship with God.
And I think, too, you should think about the other person. Instead of thinking about yourself, well, I have a right. I can wear whatever I want. Technically, you're probably correct on that. But is that really conducive to a good relationship with your brothers in Christ? You need to think about the other person. So this would be an area that I don't think Christians should just slough off, that we should consider that also. And really, think about it also, because if you're living in a Mormon community and the Mormons place a lot of emphasis on their dress wear, and you as a professing Christian don't, right off the bat, your message is not going to have the impact upon them that you might think it'll have, because they're going to look at that as being a lack of spirituality, for right or for wrong. That's another issue, but that's how they are going to look. And a lot of Mormons have actually said as much, that they don't like the example they see being set among professing evangelical Christians. And because to them, that is a big emphasis, they don't take the Christian's message seriously. We need to think about that. I mean, even when it comes to, for instance, having a Mormon over to my house, I'm not going to purposely ask them if they would like a cup of coffee after dinner. Why? Because I know that's probably going to offend them. I'm going to keep that in mind, and I'm going to behave myself, hopefully, in a way that allows my message to actually be heard. Now, do I have freedom to have a cup of coffee after dinner? Of course I do. In fact, I think that whole coffee thing is probably one of the most silliest rules in the world. And I think some Mormons do too, but they just won't tell their fellow Mormons that. But still, I would not do it for that reason.
Oh, and I think the biblical justification for that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 10, when Paul talks about food offered to idols. Is it okay to eat food offered to idols, he asks. And the answer is yes and no. It depends. But we got to use good common sense, and especially when we have relatives or friends or neighbors who are Latter-day Saints, not to go out of our way to make Christianity even less appealing than what they may already see it as being. We need to use good common sense.
It's the old adage, the gospel is offensive enough. We don't need to exacerbate the problem. And the message that we have for Latter-day Saints is naturally going to offend them in some way or another, because the gospel message has a tendency to offend a lot of people who do not have the Holy Spirit within them. And so because of this, we don't go out of our way to make an extra problem here. We want to be heard, and true, it is true. We need to earn the right to be heard in a relationship situation. And hopefully that our words and our example will work together and not work against each other. And sadly, when you live in a culture that places a lot of emphasis on the outside actions, this should, for us as Bible-believing Christians, be all the more important, because that is the culture we live among, and that is the culture I would hope we are actually trying to reach. So again, in some of the things that he says in this chapter, I don't think we would have a big problem with it. It gets into, is it legalism, or is it just, does it fall under the classification of modesty? And I think there's a big difference between the two, and we need to be careful about crossing the lines into legalism, because certainly the Mormon Church does that in many areas. But still, there are pitfalls that we need to avoid if we are going to live lives that are hopefully going to glorify our Savior. And we cannot fault Mormons for wanting to avoid those pitfalls as well.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.